Go
Set Magazine.
Hi, I'm James Valentine. We're looking back at the life and times of Go Set Magazine. Ian Meldrum joined the staff of Go Set soon after it began in 1966 and stayed on staff until its closure in 1974. During this period, he built up the reputation of being Australia's foremost reporter on the pop scene and its number one fan. Ian's first story for Go Set in 1966 was about his close friend and pop king-to-be, Ronnie Burns.
One of the guys, Philip Fraser, who was a friend of mine, asked me if I'd like to write a story on Ronnie Burns, of all things, meeting Frank Thring on the stage of, I think it was the Princess Theatre, it might have been Her Majesty's. So I did that story, and then they said, well, how about next week you write and cover Hoadley's Battle of the Sounds? Suddenly I had the front page story, and then it went from there.
Former Go Set editor Philip Fraser, originally from Melbourne, recalls Ian's early days at the fledgling magazine.
In the beginning, you know, Ian was kind of the most fanatical follower of the main subject matter of Go Set, which was local groups, local gossip, local band culture. And, he would come and sit at his typewriter and pound out page after page of copy, stream of consciousness, stream of gossip. Wonderful stuff. So when the time would come, you know, when we were so many hours late that it was even Tony couldn't stand it any longer, he'd just sort of grab whatever was lying on the table of Ian's copy and stuff it in his pocket and stroll off to his car to take it to the printer.
In 1968, Ian went to London with well-known band at the time, The Group, and filed back stories for Go Set. Here, he was introduced to Apple Records executive Terry Dorn. Ian recalls the first time he and a friend were introduced to John Lennon at a London reception.
I got such a shock and I started screaming out to Camilla, stop, stop, John Lennon, the Beatles are here. And of course, everyone in this club thinking, how uncool is this guy, for Christ's sake, you know? And then Terry came up afterwards and introduced me, and I was sort of half resting on the back of a chair with this girl sitting on the other side. And they came up and suddenly Terry said, Ian, this is John Lennon. Da da da. And I went to shake his hand, my legs went, and I actually knocked the chair over. And the drink of the woman holding it sort of went that way and sort of went on John Lennon, you know. And I think he came up with a rather infamous line of, this is one of my greatest fans, who's my greatest enemy?
Whilst Ian was away, fellow Go Set columnist and Melbourne DJ Stan Rofe started using a new name for Ian in his column.
It was all in fun, all in jest. Stan would send me up stupid, I'd send him up stupid. Stan Rofe had a ridiculous way of calling, you know, gay people do at times. They try to find what is a gay name that'll actually go basically with your surname, right? So Stan definitely gave it to me. Denise claims she gave it to me. So I say they both gave it to me, you know?
Some Go Set readers may have thought a new member of staff had joined the magazine.
Dear Leslie Pixie, could you please tell me who Molly Meldrum is?
Ian's trip to London in 1968 marked a change in his style, both in his writing and public persona.
This was a period where the culture was reinventing itself on so many levels, so the idea of somebody who was very camp when he wanted to be openly in public and obviously very happy about that, very comfortable with it, that was something that we were comfortable with too.
Ian returned to London in 1969, having dabbled in record producing with Russell Morris and Ronnie Burns, and landed a part-time job with Apple Records. Late that year, he picked up a scoop interview with John and Yoko.
Basically, how John announced that the Beatles were over, he said literally that he wasn't waiting around for Beatles time to record albums and write songs, and basically he felt that the marriage was over, you know, and that's how he more or less put it. And I didn't really gel onto it at the time. It wasn't until I sent the tape back that suddenly Philip Fraser realised what John was actually totally meaning. When Philip said, oh, the story about the Beatles breaking, I said, are they? So it's your interview, for Christ's sake, you know? So I'm a bit slow.
Ian, or Molly, as he'd become known by 1970 through Go Set, had become somewhat of an icon figure. Former Go Set staff Mitch O'Driscoll and Clelia Adams.
No matter what anyone would say, undoubtedly Ian Meldrum was the most important person working on the Go Set staff. Behind the scenes people don't really sell the magazine as much as the people that are generating the enthusiasm and
the celebrity and having the celebrity, the status mm-hmm. of celebrity out there. Ian was as much a personality as any of the artists that the magazine reported on.
Oh, indeed. Ian was very soon more famous than the artists he was reporting on.
In 1971, ABC TV's GTK program interviewed Molly after he'd returned from the UK.
Have you got any policy behind your column? Is it a stirring column or what is it?
I would say it's a helpful column to this point, that even my best friends, including myself, will be rubbished in that column. Now, I don't suppose any of us like very harsh criticism, and I don't believe the column does that. I think it just sort of perhaps points out different things that I think are wrong, or that perhaps that I've heard other people think are wrong, and I just put it into the column. I praise a lot too, sort of thing. You know, I think it's giving credit where credit's due.
As well as becoming friend and confidant to Australian rock stars, Molly also made his mark amongst artists from overseas. Molly recalls meeting with Elton John in Melbourne in 1971.
We were up there and I was doing this interview for Go Sit with Elton. And Elton suddenly just fell on the floor, completely hysterical, just pointing at the thing. And we said, what is wrong? And what they'd done, and it wasn't festival here, it was obviously from London. And I don't know whether it was a cruel joke on their part or whatever, you know. But the actual white label read, not Madman Across the Water. It read Madam Across the Water. And Elton thought that was the greatest thing on earth. And quite frankly, wanted to change the whole title of the album to Madam Across the Water.
Molly's gossip column continued until Go Sit wound up in August 1974. That same year, he was asked by executives from the ABC if he would compere a new pop music show to be called Countdown. Looking back over the Go Sit years, Ian's career was established not only as a rock journalist, but also as the rock guru he's known as today. Our next episode will look at two of the stars Molly helped to produce during those Go Sit years, Russell Morris and The Group. See you then.